professor. And if you know a little bit about vine, you will know that a vineyard is a lot of work. It's not for fun that you do it. The only purpose you do it is because you want to have fruit. And as it was prayed, without being in the Lord, being in the vine, we cannot do anything. We need the connection to the vine. But in this connection, there's much fruit. The fruit of the spirits, love, joy, peace, is not out of ourselves, but out of the connection to Jesus Christ. We need to abide in him. And then the Father is really pleased. And that's what we see throughout the whole Bible. Maybe we can also read some verses from Psalm 91. They're pretty known, but show this really well. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 and 9 and 10. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Yeah, because you have made the Lord your refuge and your dwelling place. That's why no evil shall befall you. And then 14 to 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes, so good. We can make the Lord our refuge. He's like a stronghold, and it's so safe, and there's so much food. There are chambers for food, and there's all the supplication, and in him we are truly saved, and in him there is the supplication, and many have been before us who have been in the Lord as their dwelling place. In this dwelling place you can abide. So my kids have collected many snails in the garden. The good thing about a snail is it always is carrying its own house. And we can also learn from the snail. We don't only have a house, but we have a stronghold. So many times when I'm working, I'm somewhere in my thoughts. But if I want to bear fruit, then I always need to ask the Lord, how can I abide in you, even in the stressful situations. And then it says here, he knows his name, he loves him, and that's why he will save him. So it's so closely related to calling upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord for such a dwelling place he has prepared for us. Impresses me in verse 2 in John 15. Every branch in me does not bear fruit, he takes away. He's not only looking, the Father is not only looking in the vineyard who is bearing fruit, but he's also pruning. And he's not just satisfied when we just bring any fruit. He's looking for the fruit, and he wants the fruit to even increase. He's not only the one who is planting, but he's the one who is giving the increase, the growth that he desires. We also had a fellowship about John 15, about the true vine. So the first time I saw this, in this light, that he says, I am the true vine. Why does he say the true vine? And then I realized there are many false prophets who say many things, but the only true vine is Christ. Christ is the true vine. Yes, Lord, we don't want to follow man. We want to follow you. Deliver us from all antichrists and from the spirit of the antichrist. Thank you, Lord. I also made the experience to dwell in the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2:24, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And then, says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. I realized this week that the Lord has spoken to us. The word of God is so precious. The Lord is speaking so much to us. But what are we doing with it? When the Lord is speaking to us, when I think about how rich our meetings are, or we are doing a new tract about are we living in the last 7 years, and I'm just thinking about how much the Lord has showed us. The Lord has given so much, but what are we doing with his word? So this week I had a situation where I realize I need the Lord. I inwardly really need salvation. And the way was to come to his word. It's written here, what we have heard from the beginning shall abide in us. And if this abides in us, you will abide in the Son and in the Father. So when I dwell in and abide in the things that the Lord spoke, I will dwell in the Lord and the Father. Isn't that precious? Isn't that a really good way? Sometimes I just am in my own thoughts. But when I remember the things that the Lord has been speaking to me, the result is I will come into the Lord. And this is what I realized this week, experiences. The Lord really reminded me of his word. And I spoke his word. And I was speaking, talking to the Lord about his word. And then the Lord started to dwell in me. And this is the promise in 25. This is the promise that we receive eternal life. That we experience eternal life. Sometimes I realize how many things are trying to leading us astray. That's what it says in 26. There are many who are trying to deceive the believers, that we would follow them. And there are many different kinds of bad ways. Even our own heart is deceiving us. But how can we be kept from this? It's when we abide in the word that the Lord spoke to us. And so when you listen to this, it will give us life. It's so precious what the Lord is speaking to us. And we need to abide in the things that he spoke to us from the beginning. Yeah. And especially this word about the Soon return of the Lord. That really saved me. The Lord is coming so soon. When you look at all the signs that the Lord spoke to us, it's so clear. The Lord is really, really near. And this word has a lot of salvation for us. In our mind, in our thoughts. Yes, amen. Amen. Let us read this passage together. So, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 to the end. Let us read, sisters and brothers, each. And you have the anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. 27, once again. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in Him. The anointing that you have received from Him. Amen. Abides in us. Amen. As the anointing taught you, you will abide in Him. Amen. Lord, teach us to dwell in You. Lord, thank You for the anointing that is true and teaches us everything. And as it teaching us, we will dwell in Him. Yeah, it teaches us all things. Everything it teaches us. It is true and not a lie. And as it has taught you, you will abide in Him or dwell in Him. Everything it teaches us. Lord, we believe You. It is written here, everything, and we want to experience this. Yeah, teach us to dwell in You no matter the circumstances. I understood today that the anointing is teaching us how to dwell in the Lord. And the anointing is teaching us. And when we come to the Lord, and the anointing taught me to live in the new man, we need to leave behind the old man. Old man is, It wants this and that and is zealous for many things. And the anointing taught me to leave this all behind. And I praise the Lord for the anointing. And this brought me this vision. How the Lord is giving us this vision. How do you live your daily life? Do you live it in your old man or your new man? And if you truly listen to the anointing, it will teach you everything concerning your daily life. When this is in the old man, it will teach you, and it will show you how is the new man in every situation, and you will be able to listen to it. Where is the problem? And the anointing will teach you. We can listen to the anointing. Yeah, abide in him. Amen. Yeah. I need for this, in order that if you have the word, then you need to eat the word in order that the Lord may dwell in you. I need to take it in, read it, eat it, and then the Lord will speak to me through the anointing. I need to ponder upon the scripture. This is what is pleasing to the Lord. And then I can do his will. Lord, teach us all things through the anointing. Oh, Lord. This week, I read this verse many times, and I realized that it says here, the anointing is teaching us all things. It says here, all things. And in my concept, it was, okay, everything concerning the Bible, I need to be taught by the anointing. But actually, it says here, all things. And also, Paul said, the godliness is profitable for everything. So, we need the anointing for everything. All things. Why? Because it teaches us to abide in him. We really need to learn to abide in him. If we abide in him, there is nothing that it would be too that would be impossible. It would be too heavy. Many things I think, oh, they're too difficult. But it's so good to dwell in him who is the Almighty. Yeah, we really need to learn this. We read Psalm 91. Where it says that the Lord is our dwelling place. And if you look at this psalm, he shows in what kind of circumstances he is. And then we realize it's really something we need to learn to abide in the Lord, because it says here, there's the snare of the fowler. There's the perilous pestilence. For example, if I go in somewhere and there are always snares, no matter what you say, it could be wrong. Or there's this pestilence, or this, it says here, even if 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, he really experienced this. This was his experience. Around him, there was war, but he learned to trust in the Lord and to abide in the Lord. This is what I need the anointing for. When I'm just in my room and speak to the Lord, of course I am in the Lord. And there is no much distraction. But how is it when everything is just going up and down, and the heat of the daily life is coming, many difficulties arise. Do I abide in the Lord? This is what I need the anointing for. It's not enough just to have a teacher who is just outwardly or just in a class just saying me things, and then you go outside and you cannot apply it. No, but the anointing is dwelling in us, and that's why it can really help us. So I really need to apply what the anointing is teaching me to abide in the Lord. This is really wonderful. The anointing teaches us. It's different from the teaching in the school, because the anointing is really also bringing us into the experience. Yeah, it wants to teach us to dwell in the Lord no matter the circumstances. That's why 1 John is only mentioning the anointing. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. This is really a mystery. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he says here, many different circumstances, but in all things he has learned this mystery. When around us, everybody is just falling in the flesh. Everything I do through the one who strengthens me. It's not just a teacher who is giving you some theory, but actually is giving you the strength as well. Everything is possible through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah, we can go through all things and abide in the Lord. In the last days, I've been around a lot. So when you go to work, you think, okay, it's just some casual few days. But then in the end, it's super stressful. But then, so this is a good situation for me to learn to abide in the Lord. Yeah, the Lord reminded me, abide in me. Don't end up in your flesh or yourself. And it was so good to learn this. And yeah, even the goal is to be like in Psalm 91, that by all these snares and all these things around us, we abide in him, we dwell in him. And he says, because you have made the Lord God your refuge, he will deliver you.
So she, the sister's talking about how she went to another place to drop off documents that she needed to drop off. And I really had to exercise to remain in his rest and not to become scared or worried or what will happen, but to trust in him, to just do what I had to do. So I had a similar incident before, and then now that the second time something similar happened or the same thing happened, it was very difficult for me. So I really had to exercise to not let them get to me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in him, it is possible for me not to enter into fear. And that in him, it's possible for me not to be occupied with this matter. Yeah, praise the Lord, it worked. Praise the Lord, I was able to remain in prayer and not be distracted and enjoy the time that I have here and not think about what's happening back home. And I'm really happy that my soul came to rest very quickly. Amen. We should abide in him. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. You don't live in Hannover. You live in him. You already made your move from Hannover to the Lord. Moved into the Lord himself. In the Father and in the Son. Yeah, and wherever you live, that's where there's fellowship, which is also what it says in the first chapter of 1 John. It says, this is written so that we may have fellowship with him. It's impossible, almost impossible, to live together and not have any interaction with one another. That would be a pretty odd life if you're in the brother's house or if you're in your family or you just live together. As saints, that you would not have any interaction or exchange with one another, and that you don't even know anything about the other person, that's not a true living together. That's not a true brother's house, sister's house, or yeah. But if we live in the Lord, then we would have much fellowship with one another. We would speak with him, he would speak with us, and this would be the proof, the evidence that we dwell and abide in him. If we say that we abide in him but have no fellowship with him, that we don't speak with him and he doesn't with us the whole day, the whole week, then we're living somewhere or abiding somewhere, but not in him. This is the characteristic of living together with one another, because you know what the other person is doing. Living somewhere is not just being a guest somewhere. Living, abiding, and dwelling somewhere means you are there and you're with the other living person. Our furniture doesn't live with us. Sure, they are there in our apartment, but I would never say that the table dwells with me or lives with me, because it's not a person. Because it can't live, it can't dwell, it can't abide, but a living person can. A living person gets settled in, knows the address, and in such a dwelling place, there's not just hello and goodbye. You have interaction with one another. You know where the other person is going if someone's leaving the house. If I leave and my wife has no idea where I'm going, that wouldn't be normal. No, I'd say I'm going grocery shopping, or I'm going there, and I'm going here. That's just a normal interaction. And if we live in Christ and in the Father, it would be very normal that we would have fellowship with him, and not just fellowship with him, but that we would know what the Lord has planned and what he wants to do, and that he would know what we want to do. The Lord is also interested in that, to see what our intentions are, to see what we want to do, what our plans are, and that's why we need to have fellowship. And this is a sign that we live in him. And the anointing teaches us exactly this, teaches us to abide in him. Of course, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say the Spirit teaches us all things, but it says the anointing teaches us all things. And we had this at the conference as well. The anointing is explained or described in Exodus 30. And there's olive oil, and there are different spices that are mixed into the oil. And what is produced, or what comes out of that, is the holy anointing oil. And this is the word that John uses, the anointing. And this shows me that if the anointing wants to teach us all things, the anointing doesn't do it like a teacher or a professor at the university and tells you what you have to do and then just sends you away and says, okay, then come next week and I'll tell you again what you have to do, and then I send you away again. This is how it works at school or at the university. I tell my students what they have to do, and then say, and then they try to, oh no, then I try to go away as quickly as possible, then I'm gone for a week. But the anointing doesn't teach us in such a way. That's not how the anointing teaches us. The anointing teaches us what we have to do, but at the same time gives us the life that we need, that we can also do it. That's why in 1 John 2, it says not only that you have received the anointing, but in 25 it says, this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And this life is what lives in us. And this is what's special about the anointing. The anointing tells us what is to be done and teaches us, but at the same time, it gives us life. It gives us the substance of the Lord himself, so that we can do what he tells us, so that we can do it with him and through him. I had a few experiences this week with this word, especially when it concerns speaking to others about the Lord. We often hear this: the Lord gave me a clear impression, speak with this person. The holy anointing or the anointing tells me go preach the gospel to this person, and then we go and then we start talking. And often we forget the anointing then. We obey because we go and start to speak to the person, but then we start speaking through ourselves, not through the Lord. And that's the difference. We do what the anointing tells us to do, but we don't execute it through the anointing. And this is where I noticed, yeah, I want to learn this aspect more. First of all, I do want to hear his voice, but then I also want to learn to do what he says through him. And this is what are also the spices that are mixed into the oil are about. Because the anointing is like something you put on your, like lotion on your skin, and if you have an ointment that you put on your skin, and then it gets absorbed in your skin. And it's the same thing with the anointing. It wants to bring Christ's life into us, so that at the end, whatever the anointing tells us to do, we would do it through him. And the Lord really reminded me of this recently. We had, for example, the presentations recently, and the Lord, through the anointing, told us what we should say, how should we prepare ourselves. But of course, when we go there and do this, we need him even more as the anointing. But the life of the Lord would be what does it in us and not ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be like those in Matthew where he says, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and that? Where we say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and that in your name? And the Lord will say, I don't know you. Depart from me. Because they did something, but not through the Lord himself. And so the anointing is so precious because it teaches us, but at the same time gives us this life. Gives us the essence, the life, the substance of Christ. Isn't this a wonderful aspect of the anointing? Praise the Lord. It teaches us and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught us, we will abide in him. That was 1 John 2:27. Mm-hmm. You will abide in him. Praise the Lord for the anointing. The word from Nehemiah really touched me this week. He was very sad about the situation in Jerusalem, and he brought the situation to the Lord, and the Lord prepared the king, because the king asked him, what do you want? And Nehemiah didn't say right away what he wanted, but it says in Nehemiah 2:4, the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, then it continues. And that really touched me. Sometimes I think I pray and that's it. But Nehemiah went to the Lord again. And then he did what the Lord told him to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for this anointing. Yeah, Father, we pray that we would come to you all the time, that you would strengthen us again, that we would go the right way, that we would be able to act accordingly, and that it would be according to your will. Oh, man. Recently, I've had experiences with the anointing. There were a few things that had to be done, practically speaking. And I told the Lord, I don't understand it. I can't do it. And the anointing told me, just rise up and go. And then I realized everything I had prayed was so theoretical. And then I realized when the Lord told me, get up and go, then I realized that it was actually possible. So I had to repent afterwards that I was even so astonished that it worked. It's just like I had, I was like sailing, and that the sail was up and helped me. And this happened to me a couple of times this week, where I sense that it's possible, it works, and I can do these things and won't be tired afterwards. And so, yeah, I didn't just stop at saying, Lord, I can't do it, or it's too hard for me. But the Lord, through the anointing, teaches us to abide in him. and teaches us to be able to do what he wants us to do. And this is what we should have in us already from the very beginning, because he has already been made our refuge. Call to me in your, yeah, in your need, in your distress. And I wasn't really in distress at that time, but I realized he lives in me and I live in him. And if we live in him and abide in him, then so many problems will be erased or won't be as difficult as we think they are. Yeah, and I really pray that I would experience much more the power of the Holy Spirit. That I would be able to do what the natural man says to us is not possible. Amen. Yeah, if we live in the Lord, or the example that was used when we live with one another, we had this at the conference, this example, I was reminded of this. It can't be that you live with one another and you don't talk to one another. So we also should talk with the Lord all the time. There is no real relationship where you don't, in which you don't talk to one another. Yeah, it reminds me also of the tabernacle. It is the dwelling place of God. And whenever they went into the tabernacle, they had fellowship with the Lord. And Moses spoke with God in the tabernacle, especially in relation to what pertains to God. And this is how we should learn to speak with the Lord, to ask him what he desires. What does he want for our going on? How does he want us to go on with him? Yeah, it's important for us to have fellowship with the Lord about this, because we often talk to so many other people, or you are so much in your own thoughts. At the conference, the brother said that the brother went out and just went on a walk and really had fellowship with the Lord. And this is how we have to learn also to turn to the Lord, that we learn to have fellowship with him, to speak with him, especially in relation to what the Lord wants to do. Yeah, it also says in his word that we can make all our requests known to him. Mm-hmm. And he will lead us. He will also guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come and abide in him. This also gave me such a desire to have the anointing teach us all things, not have the attitude, oh, how do I understand the word? That it's not about teaching in that sense. Because often I realize there's a tendency in me, or this week there was a situation where someone came to me and said, let's talk about or discuss certain points about the doctrine. Sometimes there's this hunger or desire to talk about the doctrine. You know, the anointing teaches us all things. And this desire for knowledge or doctrine, through this, we see what the result is. We see it in Christianity. There's so much teaching, so much doctrine that shows how much we lack hearing the anointing. And it was like this also with Timothy and Paul and their situation. In 1 Timothy 1:4, it says, 1 Timothy 1:4, there were disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. And then it says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And these are the things that the anointing wants to teach us. And this, it encourages me anew, Ephesians 4:20, we have not so learned Christ. And here it's also about our not walking as the nations do in the futility of their mind. But to learn Christ means something very practical in our life. And he says, you have not so learned Christ. And how do we learn Christ? By putting off the old man and putting on the new man, so that we would be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It's really a help for us when we listen to the anointing. So through this, of course, the teaching and the doctrine, if it's true and according to the Lord, is fine and good, but we need the anointing to teach us. And if we learn him by putting off the old, putting on the new, then we can avoid so many disputes. And I'm so encouraged. Lord, save me from the old man. save me from just knowledge alone or just to be taught. I want to listen to the anointing. The word anointing is the exact same word as Christ. That's important to see. The anointing is Christ, the anointed. And the anointing is what we receive when we follow the Spirit. So it's no wonder that, that when we're anointed by Him, we receive more Christ. That means the anointing is not just there to send us somewhere, but it is there to anoint us with Christ Himself. And this is wonderful. This is what something completely different. It's not like if I send someone to do something for me, he'll do it. And I don't do anything. But that's not what it's like with the anointing. The anointing tells us maybe we should do or tells us what we need to do, but also works Christ into us so that he would be the one who lives in us and does what the anointing teaches us. And this gave me a new view of the anointing. And this is something that I want to learn. Mm-hmm. The anointing brings the anointed into me. It's like painting the wall. If someone paints the wall, at the end, the color, the paint is one with the wall. If you want to live somewhere, and we're talking about abiding in the Lord, then the paint, so to say, has to be put on the wall layer by layer. And that's how the anointing wants to work Christ into us. And it doesn't happen from one day to the next. It requires many layers. And the result is that we would become more and more like Christ. That's the result. If the anointing anoints me so that the anointing lives in me or is working to me, then I would become more like the anointed. That's what it says in 1 John 2:28. It says, little children abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That means transformation has occurred. That means we won't have a problem when he comes, then we will have boldness. Is this not a wonderful anointing? The anointing brings the anoint or works the anointed one more into us. I told the Lord, teach me this teaching that I would have the substance of Christ in me at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Yeah, let's read this together again. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Let's read it together. Amen. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Establish us in the anointing. Lord, we want to be established in you. We want your substance to be worked into us. Oh, we want to have anointing in us. We want to be sealed. We are sealed. Yeah, we thank you that you have given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Amen. Amen. Yeah, work your whole being into us. Yeah, that all the ingredients would work within us. Anointing would also be able to heal us, make us healthy. 307 is a song we can sing. To be like thee, I think that's the song. We want the Spirit to really be saturate us and really penetrate every part of our being. Oh, to be like thee. 307. Lord, work your nature into us. Let's read 4 together. Oh, to be like thee. Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be done. Amen. Work yourself into us through the anointing. Yeah, penetrate us, saturate us with the anointing. Amen. Yeah. Oh, penetrate us with Christ, the anointed. Amen. Make us and bring us more into your image. Genesis 49:11 and 12. Binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Yeah, we should be bound to the vine, bound to Christ. So praise the Lord. On Sunday, we will have the feasts again in the various homes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, see you all on Sunday.